In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
All things current. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show. See, when I talk too fast, I just go right through names like his and mine. Drew Mariani, I'm Sheila Logminas, sitting in for Drew. I'm trying to get right to the guest and right to the really important information we're bringing you today. I talked with Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone in California. There is a group of students from California, ranging from very young and grade school students and on up, I think a little older, and then their parents, and they are stranded in Afghanistan trying to get to the airport and trying to be evacuated. And then also the Roots of Peace organization that removes landmines and employs a lot of Afghan employees to do so, and then to help the locals use that land for farming. They are also in harm's way, and they're trying to get them out as well, along with the Afghan employees who work with them. Now with today's bombing, Archbishop did not know. He hasn't been in touch now today with this the head of Roots of Peace, who he has been in touch with until this bombing. He doesn't know their condition. He doesn't know their location. He doesn't know the situation. What we do know is that 12 military members of the U.S. forces have been killed in the bombing today at Kabul airport, which the Pentagon says is the work of ISIS suicide bombers. And also we have at least, I think, 15 wounded that are the latest count. That's just horrific. But it's all been horrific. And I was talking with the lieutenant colonel who served three different tours in Afghanistan just a short time ago about this administration's statements on sticking with the August 31st deadline for being completely out. Senator Ben Sasse's call on the president to do one of two things. And it's a very, very, very fluid situation. So stay tuned. You will always get the latest here. Joining me to continue on these conversations and coming right out of the chaplet, it's perfect to have her here for now, because it's a blend of both, right? Archbishop Corleone called for prayers. The Food for the Poor organization in Haiti I talked to in the first half of the show, first show hour today, called for prayers for their works in Haiti to help the people in need. And so it's all of a piece, the prayer, but also the works at the same time for the most vulnerable people out there. But joining me for that is Catherine Jean Lopez, good friend and senior fellow at the National Review Institute's Center for Religion, Culture, and Civil Society. She's also editor-at-large of National Review, and Catherine's the author of A Year with the Mystics, Visionary Wisdom for Daily Living, which we need, Catherine, as you put it on the book, every day, Visionary Wisdom. So, Catherine, coming right out of the chaplet, I want to, you know, the somber news, and I did ask people who were joining us for the chaplet to please add, join their prayers to ours for those military members lost today, killed in this suicide bombing, and the 15 wounded, and that count may go up. Certainly, it's likely. And all others who have been, the vulnerable people, there's that intention. And, Catherine, while it was during the chaplet, a good friend texted me and said, and I want to get this out there for all of our listeners praying, and you, Catherine, as well, to join in praying for this, because you're such a good prayer, Catherine. That so there's a friend in Chicago who said that in her parish, there's a boy from her parish, I think he's 15, who is missing. His name is John Paul. This is, folks, as we speak right now, a fluid situation in my city of Chicago. A 15-year-old boy is missing from the parish of a friend of mine. And John Paul is his name. Please pray that he is safe and found safely, comes home safely to his family. His father was at Mass today, and my friend's husband said that he looked quite distraught. Please pray for John Paul's safe recovery and return to his family. All the angels and saints and Saint Michael the Archangel, please pray for them. Catherine, we have so much to pray about, don't we? Do you ever get the sense we should just always be on our knees?
Yes. Yeah, we can never pray enough. Of course, right. we have to be encountering people too and serving people in their needs. But yeah, no, when it comes to something like Afghanistan, all most of us can do right now is pray. There may be opportunities coming up to, you know, help make a home for whether it be an orphan or a family, a refugee family. These are questions I think parishes need to ask themselves more often. Imagine if every Catholic parish stepped up to the plate, or every Christian parish stepped up to the plate, or every, you know, religious community who stepped up to the plate, then the burden's not on the government, right? and the other agencies. The people would take a leadership role. Of course, we're not there yet. I've been talking actually about the orphan situation, and everything is so fluid, as you say, and chaotic that nobody really has a handle on it right now, as best I can tell. But those are questions we're going to have to ask eventually. But yeah, lots and lots of prayer. I know Alatea is doing a live stream prayer vigil tomorrow. I forget the time, 12 or 3, I think. You can find that all online. And I think Archbishop Cordiglione is calling for prayer, as you said, as well. If there's any way that each one of us can pray a rosary today, can find some time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I know sometimes the restrictions, there are still, you know, closed churches, places, and things. But if there's an open door and you can get yourself there, it's always so powerful to be able to give all of these intentions to the Lord, and to remember too that He has a plan in all of this, and He is the Savior. And so, as we're so disappointed and disgusted, even with how we're abandoning these people, and that was a bipartisan problem. That's not, you know, I'm not attacking one administration or another, because a number of them have contributed to this right now. The most important thing is not to be, you know, gawking at the news, but to be really going to the Lord in prayer and asking for mercy and consolation on these people. And there's also an element too, you know, it pains me to think, I hadn't quite thought about it, but I think that it's been 20 years since we went in there, right, after we were attacked. And it's an examination of conscience, I think, for all Americans, whether you had anything to do with that or not. And obviously, I'm not even making a point about whether we should have gone in there or not. But when we look back from a 20-year perspective, you know, I think it should humble us about sometimes how we can be very quick to have opinions on things when we don't know everything on the ground. You know, I certainly have regrets about the Iraq War, which I supported at the time, because I never thought to think, you know, what is the impact going to be on Christians? And it was a great suffering for the Christian population, because Saddam Hussein, for all his faults, actually kind of kept things okay. They were second class citizens, but when the chaos of war came to the situation, there were a lot of unintended casualties. And so I just say that to emphasize, I think we need to be humble sometimes when we're looking at world news events, especially ones that are getting people killed, you know, and those pictures of, you know, parents giving their infants to the U.S. military, and imagine how desperate you have to be, and the love that they have for this child. You know, it reminds me of some of those stories where you hear desperate parents from South America. And I know this is a very complicated issue, and it's not all innocent children coming across the border, but there are parents who will pay these coyotes all the money they have because they just believe that someone in America will make a better life for their child.
I know.
Goodness gracious. Catherine, have us count our blessings.
Amen. Catherine, I got to tell you, when I've seen, so there's the border, the same thing happening there, and I've seen in some of the scenes from the film footage at Kabul, when you see a parent lifting up a baby to the American forces or an American service member on the wall itself, on the inside, but on top of the wall, taking that baby, being lifted up to him, and I think, oh my gosh, the desperation. I can't fathom that. I really can't. You can't, we living the way we do, that's one of our problems, right? Is when we try to impose the way we think on the way other people are. We just, it doesn't work that way. But to be so desperate that child who is your child is now being handed off to somebody you truly believe will protect your child, save your child, and take your child to safety when you yourself may be in harm, and not only in harm's way, but mortally so. Like you could be killed. You want to make sure your child is not. That desperation should just pierce us to the heart. And therefore,
and also that total love.
Yeah.
I mean, to want your child protected and know that you're probably going to die. And if you don't die, you're never going to see your child again. It's just amazing. And I think that it, again, should draw us into this examination of conscience. You know, they still see something about America that, and, you know, 1.2 is there are Afghans who appreciate that they have been educated because the United States intervened in Afghanistan, right? It wasn't the Taliban, you know, making sure women weren't educated. And that's the one little opening of hope, perhaps. You've got an educated population. Now, if the Taliban's slaughtering everybody, that doesn't get you much. But they can still see that there's something good about America. All too often in the United States, we can't see that anymore as you know, the woke generation and all of this are reexamining our history and finding little good. Other people in the world still see good in the United States. And I think it's really important for us to appreciate the good that is in U.S. history. It's a mixed bag, yes. But this experiment is good, even if there have been flaws and sins and crimes. There are still people in the world who can see that against all our best efforts at the moment, it would seem, to show them something else.
And we are trying, especially with these prayer efforts. Archbishop Corleone, who was on just a little while ago, pointed out that, I mean, I brought it up to him, and he pointed out the time of it. So he is leading a prayer service on Friday tomorrow for all of this, for what's going on in Afghanistan, for the Americans in harm's way stuck there, these students, their parents and chaperones, the Roots of Peace organization for this whole situation, and all of the vulnerable people in harm's way. And to join him, people can find that. I want to know, Catherine, I love this. I want people to know that the name of this is wonderful, EucharisticRenaissance.com, all one word, EucharisticRenaissance.com. Archbishop Corleone is leading that at 3 p.m. Pacific tomorrow. But there are others, and I want to really quick take Pat. Pat's calling in from the Twin Cities, or Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I want to take that real fast. Pat, go ahead. I'm glad you called.
Yeah. Yes, hi. And I appreciate you talking about the prayer. What we've been doing here in Minnesota, we did it with or for President Trump as well. And what it is a holy hour with Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. And then you put, it says blessings from, you put your name, the date, the time you did the holy hour, and the church. And then you mail this little piece of paper, it's about 2x3, in an envelope to President Joe Biden in the White House with the address there on Pennsylvania Avenue. And it says on there, a holy hour with Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament has been made for you that you may faithfully seek and carry out the will of God for our country. Mm-hmm. And our parish got a thank you note from President Trump when we did it for him, and they've been continuing to do it for President Biden. And I think he needs to know that people are praying for him, especially being a Catholic, mm-hmm. that he may appreciate that. And I don't know if there's ways of making these up, you know, with you know, and just getting them out to people. And actually, you mail it. You don't email it. You mail it to the White House so that, you know, that's people don't get a lot of mail these days. But if you got a lot of that, to know that people are praying for him and that Jesus is being accompanied in the Blessed Sacrament, so he's not by himself either. So it gets more people to be with the Lord and beg for our country. So I think that's important to pass that on.
Pat, that's very good to pass on. Catherine, isn't it? I mean, to send the president a card saying, you know, we're praying for you in our parish. We're praying for you in our prayer group, but other members of Congress as well. It's like, do all we can.
Yeah, we certainly need to pray for our leaders. And yeah, I think it's always beautiful for someone to know that they have been remembered in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I actually, a couple of weeks ago, got from one of my young colleagues a spiritual bouquet, which had a crazy number of prayers and holy hours. And it's really humbling and powerful to know that somebody is going to go before the Lord for you and your intentions. And people who are making big decisions certainly need it. By the way, I mentioned the Alitea prayer service for Afghanistan. It's being live streamed. It spells, by the way, I can never spell it right, A-L-E-T-E-I-A, Alitea. They have a live rosary for Afghanistan on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on their Facebook and Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, they're a very good news outlet with a lot of coverage. Very, very, very Catholic. Very, lot of coverage of news, but also prayer and devotions. There are a lot of, and saint of the day, and a lot of that. You know, that's important too. The prayers, devotions, and never enough of that. But always every single one of them. We will, as I said, never know on this side of the veil how powerful they are. Archbishop Corleone called on us. He said, "I request your urgent prayers to Our Lady of Sorrows on behalf of the people who are vulnerable and in harm's way right now." So this certainly seems like one of her titles right now that we most want to invoke, Our Lady of Sorrows. And also, at the end of his statement on the Archdiocese of San Francisco, Catherine, Archbishop Corleone says, "In dark and dangerous times, Christ Jesus gives us the courage to hope." That sounds like you, Catherine. You are such a great prayer, and I'm so glad you're here to join me. I wish we had like hours to talk because we have that much to talk about.
Well, and we also, Sheila, always have to remember to give thanks too, like for the missionaries of charity who just got out of Afghanistan and they're safely in Rome. Thanks be to God with children who they have cared for, disabled, severely disabled children So thanks be to God that that was possible, because it was probably a miracle.
Amen. Two things. One, definitely we follow the prayerful petitions with our thanksgiving, prayers of thanksgiving, with prayers and thanksgiving. And that's scriptural even, but we know that. And two, you cued me up perfectly, because my next guest coming up is one of the mothers from this Missionaries of Charity, who actually worked with Mother Teresa personally. And today's Mother Teresa's 111th birthday. So Catherine, wonderful.
Yes, okay.
It is. 111th birthday. Yep. Well, isn't that wonderful?
She must be interceded for those missionaries to charity so they could be praying in Rome by tonight.
Amen. Well, Catherine, thank you so much. And I join my prayers to you. I've told you this before. I pray with you and for you every day. So thank you for all you do for everyone.
Thank you for that.
In
and
your
I'll be
writing.
For you and all your listeners tonight.
Thank you so much. You witnessed to us the power of prayer and the need for it. Thank you so much, Catherine Lopez, and all of you who are praying for all of these intentions. Remember, I called on you for the teenager in Chicago. John Paul is his name, a member of a parish of a good friend of mine who is currently missing. She's going to update me during the show today if she finds out anything more about him, that he may be found safely and returned to his family. Maybe he's just, I don't know, who knows where. We want him back home with his family. And everybody else in harm's way, safety. And that God's grace is upon them, and St. Michael the Archangel protect them. And I could go on and on. Time to get out. More coming up on Mother Teresa's 111th birthday next.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
I love that. Hi, I'm Sheila Lagminas. Drew Mariani is usually here for you. He's always here for you, as you know, and he's always in prayer for you because he tells you that every day. Please pray for me as I pray for you. My good friend Drew Mariani's taking the day off, so I'm Sheila Lagminas in for Drew today, just so he can have that day off. But you know he's praying for you, and you pray. He asks you to pray for him. Speaking of prayer, we want to continue those prayers for our military forces who were lost today in the Kabul bombing. We've been covering that. Archbishop Corleone was on earlier. Quite a powerful show today with what's been going on in Haiti, you know, getting hit with back-to-back crises and some of the people there who are on the ground trying to help those most in need and endangered in many ways, and just without any other help other than, you know, what we're providing, what the different organizations, nonprofit organizations are providing. And then in Afghanistan, there are groups there. Archbishop Corleone is very close to one, Roots of Peace. They're clearing landmines there to help that area become farmable. And then the local Afghans working with them to clear landmines, dangerous and noble job that, to then make that ground workable for farming. And those Afghans working with the Americans, and the Americans are all in harm's way and trying to get out. There are also students who are behind the lines there from California. And Archbishop Corleone no longer knows where they are or what their situation is. They were trying to get to the airport and get out in the evacuation efforts when the Kabul bombing happened. So he no longer knows where they are and what their current situation is. Pray for all of that, please. And as Archbishop asks us, pray to Our Lady of Sorrows and always have hope and courage. Jesus Christ gives us hope and courage, he said. And he's leading a prayer effort tomorrow, EucharisticRenaissance.com, tomorrow afternoon, a prayer effort for all of these causes. And you just heard Catherine Jean Lopez. If you were tuned in, we were talking about the power of prayer and ongoing and the important work people are doing together with pray and then work. Pray, work, and don't worry. Pray, act, and don't worry. Padre Pio. But Catherine, interestingly, this is a Holy Spirit thing. She did not know who my next guest was, but she said how when we pray and petition, we always have to remember to give thanks. Well, of course, gratitude and thankfulness for answered prayer. All prayers are answered. We just don't know how sometimes, but do give thanks. And she brought up Mother Teresa's sisters, the Missionaries of Charity, being able to get some people out of Afghanistan. Give thanks for that. She had no idea my next guest coming up was from the Missionaries of Charity is. And that today, would have been Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta's 111th birthday. So that was great that the Holy Spirit worked that out with me and Catherine just a short time ago. So she wanted to stay hidden, as you probably know about Saint Mother Teresa. Is that what we call her, Saint Teresa of Calcutta? She's Saint Mother Teresa. She wanted to stay hidden during doing the work of the Lord, and that she, as you know her story, the Lord called her to do. So clear a call to her, to care for the poorest of the poor, especially in the streets of Calcutta, India. But the British writer Malcolm Muggeridge came across her and was so deeply moved by what he saw, he wrote about her. That ended her anonymous service, and she became known around the world. People marveled at how she could spend the time she did caring for the poor in the most desperate of situations. Most amazing to observers was the fact that she gave up all of her comforts in order to live like them. If you've seen any of the films, you've seen it. It's just remarkable. Documentaries about her and the order she founded, the Missionaries of Charity, soon came around. One of them showed a newly established house in San Francisco that had been built by a benefactor with all the usual American amenities. But once the sisters showed up, out went the carpet, out went the dishwasher, and all of the other things we take for granted. There was also a story that's very pertinent to what's going on today. Mother Teresa had a house in Lebanon where they cared for physically and mentally handicapped children. That Lebanese, or the Lebanese Civil War was going on at that time, and the house was under threat of a bombardment in that war, and the sisters and children were trapped. Mother Teresa went to the Patriarch of Lebanon and told him she needed a ceasefire to get them out. He responded, saying there was no way that was going to happen. So Mother went over to her sisters and they prayed, probably the nine memorari Speedy Novena. And when they were done, suddenly the shelling stopped. The patriarch was stunned. Mother went in there with her sisters, got the children and sisters out, and then the shelling started again. That's relevant and pertinent today because the Missionaries of Charity have a house in Kabul in almost the exact same situation. Mother Mary Catherine is the Women's Formation Advisor for Catholic Youth Expeditions and St. Joseph's Formation Center. She has served in mission houses, Missionaries of Charity mission houses all over the United States, assisting severely ill patients, and has worked with unwed mothers and their children. She was also a sister with the Missionaries of Charity for 10 years before having to leave because of health issues. She served at as Mother Teresa's chauffeur around the United States when she would come and visit. Mother Mary Catherine, what a delightful job that must have been. Tell us about it. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's delightful to be with you, Sheila.
It's great to have you here. What was that like? I know everybody probably asked you that, right? What was it like to drive Mother Teresa around? What were your conversations like? Was it just like with the Mother Teresa we've seen in documentaries and films and hearing her voice and looking out the window and noticing the poor that other people might just look past or walk past? What was that like?
I think when I drove her, I was more either in New York City or I was in the West Coast. And so my memory of Mother in driving was Mother always praying the rosary. And then after we had finished our prayers, turning around and just laughing with the sisters and passing peanut butter sandwiches around and just enjoying the sisters' company. You know, she would... She just was extremely simple. She's very, very simple and very joyful. And many times I've seen pictures of Mother looking so serious, but my recollection of Mother was, yes, she was focused and serious when she prayed, but otherwise she would giggle and laugh and just simple and joyful.
So what? Talk to us about those of us who didn't have an encounter with Mother Teresa or even know more than the films. I mean, a lot of us know quite a bit about her. I've covered some of the film producers of films, watched, screened them ahead of time, took sheets of paper of notes, long handwritten notes about what came up, and especially in the one about her letters, because she did a lot of writing, the letters of Mother Teresa. And that was very revealing of Mother Teresa. But on this 111th birthday, we want to celebrate that, and we want to celebrate her life and service, Mother Mary Catherine, but also get to know Mother Teresa better And what you, when you talk about that joy, we think about the smile always on her face. We think about the love she showed everyone, without exception. But a lot of people, Mother Mary Catherine, don't know about her struggles. So please, from your point of view, what you know of Mother Teresa, what fed that? What enabled her to do, to some people, the almost unimaginable work of the poorest of the poor on the streets of Bombay or Calcutta, but also the poorest of the poor when she herself had so many inner struggles? I think we lost Mother Mary Catherine. Well, let me, for one thing, share a few thoughts myself about that. And that's, again, in screening and taking notes from a film that was coming out ahead of time, before I got to screen it, before it came out, on the letters of Mother Teresa. Really, really well done film. And I was really amazed by the struggles that were revealed in that film. And in letters she wrote, and I think the title had something to do with the letters of Mother Teresa. But I didn't know, we don't know these things about a lot of saints, and especially modern day saints, because we see the public face and we see the coverage in the Malcolm Muggeridge documentary and other documentaries in this film I watched and was so impressed by. But when we learn, and then further saints going back, when we learn that they really suffered tremendously, we know the martyrs suffered. We know how they suffered from further back and not even that much further back. But we don't always know how saints suffer. You know, you hear often Dark Night of the Soul. Nobody's exempt from that, especially people who are very, very holy, very difficult struggles, interior struggles that can go on a very long time. That happened with Mother Teresa. You may not know that about her. And you may think, well, you know, we can't all be saints. Well, we can. And we can learn from those who struggled the most to overcome their inner interior darkness that they were suffering from. They overcame it by utter, even blind trust when they saw no results of the prayers visibly or even felt them, that they just believed. That was Mother Teresa. And another thing I want to add real quick, when I was raising my sons and they were little growing up, all the way through now, this is how I feel about a saint's feast day or a saint's birthday, something like this. I'll say it's somebody, Saint so-and-so, birthday or feast day, cake. I always say that. That's a thing in my house. It's a laughable thing because everybody knows that's my thing. Well, why? Because that's what we do. That's creating a Catholic culture. That's creating a culture where we celebrate holiness. We celebrate witness. We celebrate the witness to faith. That's what we should do in our homes. That's what I love doing. And it's not an excuse for cake. It really is an opportunity to celebrate sanctity. Well, I'm going to talk more with you, and hopefully we'll get Mother Mary Catherine. Can you imagine being the driver from Mother Teresa when she was in the U.S.? That's Mother Mary Catherine, and it's hard to get the missionaries of charity to talk about many things that, you know, reveal that in her life. And on the other hand, they want you to know, especially about Mother Teresa. So we'll get Mother Mary Catherine back shortly and continue with that conversation on the 111th birthday of Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Next.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
On Relevant Radio
and relevantradio.com.
Welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show. I'm Sheila Logminas, in for Drew today. He's taking the day off. Talking about St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta on this, her 111th birthday. She would have been 111 today. She wanted to stay hidden, doing the work of the Lord, all, especially the way she felt, she knew she was called to do, all in anonymity and in outside the view of the world, for the poorest of the poor. And especially in the streets of Calcutta, India, as you no doubt know. But Malcolm Muggeridge, famous British writer, came across her and was so moved by what he saw, he wrote about her. And that ended her anonymous service because she became known around the world thanks to Malcolm Muggeridge. Thank you, Malcolm Muggeridge, for giving us that information and the firsthand knowledge of Mother Teresa. She had no more anonymous service, but she had witness. So people marveled at how she could spend the time she did caring for the poor in the most desperate of situations. And most amazing to observers, as I noted earlier, was the fact that she gave up all the comfort she had to live like the poorest of the poor. Well, my guest who's been joining me is Mother Mary Catherine, the Women's Formation Advisor for Catholic Youth Expeditions in St. Joseph's Formation Center. We've been talking about the fact that she drove for Mother Teresa when she was in the States, which would be often. We'll get to that in a moment. Your calls are welcome as well. No doubt a lot of you have a devotion to her, have read a lot about her in books, her prayers, some of her favorite prayers. And your own questions about her witness, her prayer life, and the struggles she did herself suffer. A lot of people didn't know that because she didn't want people to know that, but she did, and it did come out. The number is 888-914-9149. Mother Mary Catherine, what about that? What about the inner struggles that a lot of people in the world who know the public face of Mother Teresa don't even know she suffered?
Yes, Sheila. You know, when that book first came out by Father Brian, most of us sisters didn't know anything about that dark night. Mother never spoke about it. And that's the most extraordinary thing. And a lot of people in the world do not understand the difference between that and just struggles, you know, or depression. Mm-hmm. But dark night is entirely different. And she continued to pour her heart doing for others. I just come back to the fact that there's I spent seeing Mother, was Mother, to look at her blue eyes, to just
Mother, hold on one second, please. I'm sorry. We have a bad connection. Isn't it the case these days how often are we're on a phone call and we're saying, you're breaking up, I can't hear you, and then the person or we ourselves try to find another place to stand or a place to walk to. Can you hear me now? Is that better? It's the age of, can you hear me now? Or it's also the age of, you've got to unmute yourself if you're on a Zoom call or something. It's that time we live in. And yet that does allow us to connect, right? That's what it's all about, connecting with the world and connecting with people right where they are. That was Mother Teresa. As you well know, on this her 111th birthday, if you just tuned in, I'm Sheila Logminas in for Drew today. He's taking the day off. And today's the 111th birthday of Mother Teresa. But when you think about connecting with people right where they are, for a lot of us, that's social media. That's the reason many people are on social media, because that's where people are. You go there and you connect with people there because you know they're on there. And you can have a witness to your faith there and share with them your faith. And so that's one good reason to be there. If you're bringing people good news, good stories, your own witness, prayers, devotions, uplifting information, because so many people are depressed. Mother Teresa overcame her own inner life that could have led to somebody else being depressed, who didn't have the faith life she had, because she did struggle so much. And as Mother Mary Catherine, who we're trying to reconnect with now, was telling us of the Missionaries of Charity, who was her chauffeur when Mother Teresa was in the U.S., she said the Missionaries of Charity didn't even know about Mother's inner struggles. Her dark night of the soul, as the journalist put it, who wrote about that. She certainly did. She struggled mightily, and she struggled for a very long time. To know that and to know the sanctity we saw in her nonetheless endured is a great witness to faith, to the deepest faith, to the utmost faith, no matter what, bar none. There is nothing that could have stopped. That's invincible faith, invincible against the powers of darkness or the enemy, because there is no greater power than prayer and faith and hope. And Padre Pio said that all the time. Pray, trust, and don't worry. Seemed to be Mother Teresa, right? The film I was talking about is simply called Mother Teresa, and the actress is Olivia Hussey, who plays the part. Really good film. I took a lot of notes on that because it was the letters that she wrote, and it reveals a lot about her inner life and her faith, again, invincible. She called her forth to serve the poor, the poorest of the poor, and the dying and the abandoned children in the slums of Calcutta. She challenged many authorities, including the church, along the way. As I said earlier, she in that the setup for this, that when she was when they had a house in Lebanon, the Missionaries of Charity, when the Lebanese Civil War was going on, and their house, Missionaries of Charity, was under threat of bombardment, and the sisters and the children there were trapped, Mother went to the Patriarch of Lebanon and told him she needed a ceasefire to get them out. Just if you tuned in and didn't hear this earlier, he, President of Lebanon, responded back then saying there's no way that was going to happen. We're not doing a ceasefire for you. So Mother went over to her sisters and they prayed. And we surmise probably the nine memorari Spedia Novena she was known for. And when they were done, suddenly the shelling stopped. The Patriarch himself was stunned. Mother went in there with her sisters, got the children and sisters out, and then the shelling started again. And that's relevant today because the Missionaries of Charity have a house in Kabul, Afghanistan, in almost the exact same situation. We have Mother Mary Catherine back. Mother, I hope you're in a place where we're not going to lose you again. That breakup was so notable. We couldn't hear your fine words about how the Missionaries of Charity didn't even know yourselves, right? That Mother had herself been suffering long. What we know as a dark night of the soul, because she just exuded such faith and courage and joy.
And peace.
And peace.
And so much peace. None of us knew that. We just knew Mother as Mother, just very attuned to all of our needs, tender, motherly, a formator at heart because she was a principal for many years when she was in the order before the Missionaries of Charity. And, I think the test of the depth of her interior life was that she poured out even more. She was traveling so much in her upper 70s and 80s, all over the world, trying to reach a lot of themselves. And she would remember you. She would remember your name. She would remember your family, which for all of us just seemed phenomenal how she possibly could with 5,000 sisters, but she would.
And, you know, to that point, we're up against the clock, so I can't take the call, but Joanne is calling in. And, Mother, I want you to know, Mother Mary Catherine, that what you just said pertains to what Joanne wanted to share, how she met her in the States back in the late 90s. And the caller, Joanne, and said that when she, I think what she wanted to share was how special Mother Teresa made everyone in that church, her parish, feel when they met her. Just, independently.
Sheila, she would look in your eyes. She would look right in your eyes with her bright blue eyes. And there was so much love in her face that you just felt, I what wouldn't I share? And if you had anything that was heavy on your heart, it seemed to either come out very easily or just drop from you because there was such a presence of love.
Oh, it makes you think, I want to do that too. How do you do that?
Oh, stay present in the moment to God, who's always present to us. Just living in His presence, and being very simple, trusting in Him, very open to His love like a little child, because Mother was a child. She was a little child of God.
Oh, that's beautiful. So never lose our simplicity. Never, ever give up hope. In fact, those who aren't in touch with their simplicity, we need to get back in touch with it again. Strip away all the heaviness and all the things we really need not burden ourselves with and become simple as a child again, as Mother Teresa did, and always hope and trust in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. It's so wonderful on the birthday, 111th birthday of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Mary Catherine, to talk to you and about Mother Teresa. So thank you for being here. And please pray for us, Mother, and we'll pray for you.
We will. It's a joy to be with you, Sheila. God bless you.
God bless you as well and the Missionaries of Charity.